Well, it is Wednesday, and we wrapped up our meet at the Lee Invitational in Cleveland, Tennessee, this past weekend on Saturday evening at like 9:15 p.m. Meet should have been over around 8 p.m. And that's the day after being at the track till 9:30 p.m. as well. So forgive me if I'm a couple days late on this, but I promise it to everyone. I've got everything written out and ready to go to talk about what happened this weekend. And it was a good weekend. It was a windy weekend. And if you've ever listened to this podcast before, you are well aware we are very, very familiar with dealing with absolutely wretched conditions. Saturday was at least sunny for most of the day, but there was a howling wind, which was beneficial for our sprinters, not so much for the distance folks, or at least people that had to complete a full lap around the track. But we got a lot of good things done, including a lot of school records and personal records, including a number two all-time 5K mark by Sammy Roberts, which we'll talk about here shortly. So lots of good things. Let's do it. Let's track the Trojans. So I really have no idea how long it's going to take to record this podcast, because typically we split up two-day meets into two separate podcasts. But like, folks, I cannot relay to you the exhaustion I felt by the time I finally got to the room on Friday night. Laura Gustafson and I, Coach Laura, left with a few of the athletes at about 7:45 in the morning from campus because we had the multi going on this weekend, and we had three athletes in that, plus just getting a couple other athletes over early so they didn't miss the javelin on the first afternoon there in Cleveland. So the day started pretty stinking early, you know, grabbing breakfast for those folks that didn't have a chance to get really to the calf to get anything to eat. So it was an early day. And, you know, I think I said 7:45, it was 6:45 when we left. We left at 6:45 in the morning, hour time change, traffic outside of Chattanooga, if you're familiar with it, can be terrible. We were hoping the rain would hold off as the day went on. The forecast pushed it back to further in the afternoon, and we were getting started at noon. So there was a hope that everything was going to be okay, but it got wet. But we'll get into the DCAT. I say the DCAT and the HEP. I save discussion on those things to last. It's going to kind of do it like in the past, where we go through the events from the shortest distance to the longest, and then the field events. But let's jump in. So the 100 meters, it was a great day to be a 100-meter runner because the wind was down the backstretch and it was going in and out of legal and illegal. So really, it all came down to at what point you ran your race. And I believe for the most part, all of our athletes ran wind legal times, which is awesome. Leading with Zion Griffin, who ran a time of 10.79. I think he finished roughly ninth for the weekend, but that's a huge school record in PR. I don't know that he had dipped under 11 in high school, maybe like a 10.99 maybe, but he ran a 10.79. It was wind legal, if but barely. And he took a ton of time off Pablo's, I don't know, it's a 10.92 or 10.94 from conference the first year he was running with us. So a massive time for Zion. I just remember I was standing at the top of the straight and watching them run at you. And with that perspective, it's tough to know if somebody's running fast. But I was like, my goodness, this looks quick. And it was. But he wasn't the only quick 100-meter runner. Khalil Stewart shaved more time off his PR and is getting closer to that sub-11 mark. Ran a time of 11.09 on, a sore hamstring, so that was a PR for him. Grant Allen also with a time of 11.25 a PR, and Caden Nordhoff with a time of 11.37. So four guys, four with PRs, everybody, one person under 11, and everybody else flirting with going under it. I think Laura is doing a fantastic job with these sprinters. In the 200 meter, we had a lot of these guys come back as well. Zion ran a 22.37, which wasn't necessarily wind legal, but I do believe it is fastest 200. Grant with a time of 23.27. Caden Nordhoff with a time of 24.20. And Francesco Messina, who typically triple jumps for us, had a time of 24.75, which is a PR over his high school best. So we'll call it a PR. It's the fastest he's covered 200 meters. Poor guy had to leave in the middle of triple jumping. I can't remember. I was at triple. I can't remember if it was during prelims or during finals, but I think it was right before his last jump of prelims. And then on the women's side, we had Shanae DeBeer running a 28.08 It turned out to not be wind legal, but still a great time for her. And that was her second event of the day. She had run the 400 earlier, in which she clocked a time of 1 minute 7 seconds, 0.33. Like 2-ish seconds off her best from last year. But like this, the wind on the backstretch was literally standing people up. It was not great. But that didn't stop Lucas Baggett from setting an outdoor school record with a time of 49.54. And Isaac Timko running a time of 51.01. I mean, without that wind, Lucas is easily 48.9. Timko is probably 49.9, right at 50. It was a tough win. In the 800, Ben Carr, just again, like, basically, you can take a little time off of everybody's mark from this day. Ben, with the exception of the 5K, which was somehow run by the grace of God before the wind got going early in the morning. We'll get there in a minute. Ben Carr ran a time of 2:00.43. I'm pretty sure he even split it. I was trying to keep an eye on my watch. He pretty much went 60-60. You know, great dedication from Ben. Drove up morning of. He's a student teacher, so he's in his last semester. He's got to get these hours, but he got himself a ride over on Saturday morning so he can make the 100. So shout out to Ben for his dedication and just, you know, being willing to make it happen. Caden Meeks, still on that road to recovery following the stress fracture in cross country with a time of 2:03.94. He actually negative split the race, which in the 800 makes zero sense. But, you know, without the wind, he's 2:01, give or take. Definitely closer to 2:00. And then Colby Matthews rounded out the guys with a time of 2:38.63. On the women's side, Reagan Helt ran a time of 2:25.18. Again, probably would have been 2:23. And Kendall Chapman with a season's best of 2:46.35. We ran a lot of people in the 1500. On my count right here, I think 11. I know all the 5K, 10K group dropped into the 1500 this week. It just ended up being a bummer of conditions. By the time they ran late in the evening, we'd hoped that the wind had died down. It did not. Joey Garcia led the men with a time of 4:21.32. You know, I think he would have been around 4:18, which is what his mile time would predict him at. So not bad. Pretty happy with him and his performance. Joel White had a huge run with a time of 4:39.52. which he says is a PR from high school, because where he went to high school, they ran a 1500. So who knew? But I mean, he executed a great race, raced hard, responded to me when I was telling him to duck in and draft on the backstretch and when to move, and just did a great job of that. Dayton Wright ran a time of 4:44.87. Dayton actually got Joel's heat moving. He shot out the front and kind of blew it all up. And, you know, kind of stuck his nose in it and was brave. John Dalton ran a time of 4:50.36. You know, crazy story with John. You know, you see an athlete approaching the finish line, you kind of look away as a coach, everything's okay. And then you go back and you look and you see him being helped to the athletic trainer tent, and you get scared, especially John coming back from injury. But it just turns out an age-old rail of the track got a hold of him, rolled his ankle. But I can attest, practice is going great this week, so I think we're past that. And John Alsop ran, finished up the guys with a time of 5:01.76. On the women's side, Ruth Penny led the women with a 5:06.94, and Ashley Alsvig behind her with a 5:10.89. I know both of them were kind of shooting for 5:00, but, you know, they'd been out at the track since 11. It was 7 p.m. It was windy. You know, they ran very well. I was happy with how they ran. They each kind of forced it on the second lap to get things moving, and just had a rough third lap. And, you know, I think we're going to right the ship on a couple of those things. I know Ashley's going to jump into the 1500 this weekend to see what she can do. Maddie Patton had a great time of 5:14.54, raced really well. Catherine Williams, additionally, 5:36.38, just coming right along in what is her first track season after her labrum repair last year. Emmy Mattingly with a time of 5:43.88, and Samantha Rosenkrantz rounding us out with 6:04.29. So pretty much for all 11 of them, you can take off a significant chunk of time, probably a second to 2 seconds each lap. That wind stunk. It was terrible. You could barely even draft it away from anybody. So, you know, I think in the fastest heat, I think the fastest time was 350, 349, when really I think their goal was 344, 343. There were some fast guys out there, and it's just that wind kept it from happening. In the morning, we only had one athlete run the 5K, and that was Sammy Roberts. She ran it early in the morning, which I found out later that Kayla Morgan had moved the race up about 20 minutes to make sure that they avoided the wind. He was checking the forecast, and, you know, you're the meet director. You set the schedule, and I don't think anybody missed the race, and so it all worked out. And I know Sammy wanted a little redemption from the week before. You know, side stitch about 8 laps in, pulled her out of the 5K at Rhodes, which was going really well, and she punched through a new barrier. She dropped through that 18 flat time with a time of 17:58.68, which, after doing some research, puts her as the number 2 all-time female at Trevecca, behind Olympic trials participant Caroline Hampton Cole. And, you know, really impressed with that race. You know, there was a couple spots where she was a little by herself, and I know had to work to keep that going. But punching through the 18-minute barrier, sliding about a second ahead of Biz McClendon, you know, a super accomplished runner, alum from our past, and to jump down to that list and be with those two, that's a huge deal within the program, and a great accomplishment for her. So definitely excited to see that she has gone through there, and I believe she's going to try and lower it again this weekend. So we'll see how that goes in Birmingham. In the 110 hurdles, Jaden Hickman ran a time of 17.36, college PR for him, so bettering his previous time. Grant, in the 4x1, a little better than the previous week. We went Grant Allen, Lucas Baggett, Khalil Stewart, and Zion Griffin. Time of 43.72, just not quite firing on those exchanges. I know Lucas had to take a peek. I know the third exchange was a little off. They almost left the zone. So, you know, these are all the things you want to work out at this time of year. And especially with the wind on the backstretch, those exchanges are going to be a little tough. So just glad they got it around the track, because if you know me, if you're an alum, or if you, I don't get anxious about a lot, but man, the 4x1, like, oy. So shout out to Laura for taking that over and making sure we have a pretty consistent group getting the baton around the track. So good work to them. And then in the 4x4, we kind of ran a team just to kind of see what was out there as we continue to look to build that great combination that'll be, you know, what we're looking to do at the end of the year. What's the best combination of athletes? We ran with Grant Allen, Ben Carr, Jaden Hickman, and Isaac Timko. Ran a time of 3:32.13, was good enough for fourth. It was a lot of carnage that day. So, you know, a 3:32 won't necessarily always get you fourth place, but I think a lot of teams were subbing athletes in, and there was a lot of scratches. Cool, cold day, windy, you know, our guys toughed it out and went and raced and finished fourth. And, you know, 3:32 for a long time, though it's not a great time, was a better end of the time for us. So to have a group of guys that were all pretty tired, you know, Grant had run a couple races, Jaden run a couple races, Timko had run a couple races, Ben had run the 800. Great time from those guys. Don't have the splits on those. Do not hate me. Don't have them. In the long jump, Aaron Barreto set a PR and finished seventh with a time with a jump of 5.83 meters. Francesco Messina had a best jump of 5.27 meters. Let me just tell you, long jump, and I'll talk about this with the DCAT, was tricky because you had the wind at your back. At least on the first day, I guess on the second day it was in their face. But so either way, in your face, at your back, having to gauge what that wind's going to do to your speed, your stride, when you hit the board, hot mess. The triple jump, both Francesco and Aaron made the finals. Francesco had a jump of 11.7 meters for a seventh place finish, and Aaron Barreto with an 11.55 meter PR to finish eighth. So big time at the triple jump for them. In the shot put, Argenis Paredes with a best throw of 10.59 meters, and Kendall Chenault had a throw of 9.67 meters as well. And Jada Marstella got to compete again this weekend. It was actually exciting for her. There was a Paralympic trained official there, so was able to help set up her chair. She had a best throw of 3.88, and they even have her wheelchair throw in the official results. Like, it has its own column. So super excited for just the way that Lee did that for us. Got the results for Jaden and had the event officiated for her. So, like, big thanks to them. You know, our future Gulf South opponent and fellow member. Just it was great to see them do that. And I know Jaden appreciated it, and we did as well. In the disc, now let me tell you about the disc, okay? The disc was the last throwing event of the day, and while I did just sing Lee's praises, their throws, jumps, setup is not exactly advantageous to moving through the schedule quickly. So the disc that should have started at 3:30 p.m. started at, like, might have been 6 p.m., and that was the women, and they had to get through the women and finals and men in the finals. You know, we almost considered leaving – you know, inside scoop, peel the layer back, head coach. Yeah. Our athletes are here to compete. They practice to compete. They spend a ton of their week training. They're up early. They're in the weight room. They're missing class. They're missing events, birthdays, events with their families. Everything within me wanted us to skip that event. Everybody competed at least once. We all pretty much wanted to go home. But at the end of the day, I know our throwers wanted to get in there and have a throw. And so that's what we did. And I also felt it right. And I think a lot of our athletes, not just me, I think a lot of our athletes felt the right thing to do was to stay till the end and support our team. And I love our group for that. And there might've been a few people that weren't super happy about it amongst themselves, but from what I can tell, everybody really enjoyed cheering for their teammates. So in the disc, Elijah Nicholson had a throw of 34.06, which was a college PR. Hey, you're throwing the heavier disc, you're throwing a PR, you're throwing better each week. That's what you want to do. And so super proud of Elijah and what he did. Arjunas Paredes fouled out on his three throws, unfortunately. Last throw looked pretty good, just barely fell out of the ring. It's just an unfortunate reality sometimes with the throws. Kendall Chenault had a best throw of 29.86, just missing finals. She finished 10th. Brian DeLauder with a throw of 23.07 meters. In the hammer, Elijah Nicholson had a best throw of 37.04 meters, and Jay Selvage had a best throw of 27.34 meters. And in the hammer, Molly Sims, these were on Friday night, by the way. Guess I should mention that. I don't know why it matters, but it was on Friday night. Molly Sims had a throw. Well, I guess it matters because we were in the pouring rain. It had gone late, and as opposed to getting back to the hotel around 7, myself and Laura and everybody that came up with a rental and Dylan stood in the pouring rain and didn't get back to the hotel till about 9:15, 9:30, but worth it. Molly had a throw of 41.25. Which was a school record and a personal best. And Brandon DeLauder had a best throw of 32.72. And as I say that, I realize that it was actually, it was the jab that we stayed late for. And, you know, I'm looking at my notes and I did not notate what the girls threw in the jab. Chase had a best throw of 27.36 meters. Elijah Nicholson, had three no throws that weren't counted. And as in the past, me and Jav officials, like, I don't know why, but it's just like, it's my bane. Like, Jav officials are the bane of my existence, and their non-subjective calling of flats. I mean, these officials were, I mean, they were, you know, 30 meters away and, oh, flat. And then they would get closer and you would see another jab fall, the same as, say, Elijah's fell, and they'd be like, oh, that's a good throw. So, really frustrating. Elijah had a pretty decent throw that they should have counted. So did Dayton in the multi, which I'll talk about in a second. And, Molly, I am sorry. I don't have your best throw written down on here. I know it was in the low 30s, I do believe, but it was pouring rain. Just terrible conditions, made finals. It was not great conditions at all. And, that was one of those nights and weather events where it's like, man, let's just go somewhere warm. Maybe let's consider another job. I don't know. It was tough. It was a tough night. Almost we discussed, they probably should have moved it to the next morning. But that would have brought in all kinds of different factors with the wind as well, which proved difficult for the decathlon on the following day. So we're going to move to those multi-events. I apologize there for the end of trying to get that hammer and jab story straight. Just a reminder, Molly did break that school record in the hammer with a throw of 41.75, inching closer and closer to getting into the hammer at Brian Clay. She's already going to be in with a javelin. So excited to see how she's progressing on that as well. So the decathlon obviously started on Friday. Just going to go through event by event, starting with the ladies. In the heptathlon, Campbell had a PR in the 100 hurdles of 19.70. That was good for 328 points, and Nina ran a 20.02 with 301 points. In the high jump, Campbell jumped 1.4 meters, which was good for 512 points, while Nina had a best jump of 1.28 meters, good enough for 389 points and also a PR. In the shot, Campbell had a throw of 9.89 meters for 522 points, close to her PR, but not quite there. And Nina had a best throw of 5.23 meters for a total of 223 points and a PR for her as well. In the 200, Campbell had a best time of 28.63 just had a time of 28.63, good for 582 points. And Nina with a PR of 29.15, which was good for 543 points. Moving into the next morning, we were all pretty tired. We got back pretty late. You know, I got to give it to Campbell, trooper, limping around, hip not feeling great. But in our conference, you got to have a mark and to get into the multi at the conference meet. So we did what it took. You know, Campbell decided she was going to gut it out. Best long jump of 3.68 meters, good for 237 points. And Nina had a best jump of 3.79, good for 261 points. Now, watching Campbell struggle with her hip, we kind of assumed that the jab wouldn't go great. If you're familiar with the jab, that front plant leg takes a lot of pressure, a lot of torque, a lot of force. And that was the hip that was bothering her. And I was working with Dayton in the pole vault. And then we find out that Campbell had a best jab throw of the season of 35.92 meters for 589 points. And she won the jab portion of the hip. Like, trooper. Like, just straight made of steel. Like, just going for it. Tons of pain. And, you know, had a great throw. And Nina had a PR as well of 12.17 meters. Good for 145 points. And then they wrapped up the hip with their 800. Nina had a time of 2:48.46, good enough for 418 points. And Campbell with a time of 2:58.72, still coming under that 3-minute mark with a hip that was exploding and 377 points. At the end of the day, Campbell scored 3,147 points, good enough for 11th. And Nina, 2,342, good enough for 15th. That score for Campbell, and remember, bum hip in the long jump, about a meter shorter than she should have jumped. Bum hip in the 800, probably could have run it 20 seconds faster, and also didn't PR in the high jump. She would have scored about 3,500 points, which would have given her the school record by about 300 points. And that's, listen, on a hip that we'll know the full story on here in the next couple days. Super proud of how she did, and super proud of Nina, who's progressing along as well. When you have lots of PRs in the multi, you're getting things put together. In the DCAT, we had Dayton Floyd going. He opened with an 11.4 500 meter, good for 763 points. A little disappointed in that. He knows he can run a little faster. I know, you know, he wanted more. And the great thing about Dayton is that, and that you have to have in the multis, you've got to be able to move on well if it doesn't go well. And you also have to move on responsibly. If you don't get the mark that you, or if you do get a great mark, you got to, you know, keep it together and not become overly confident. In the long jump, he had a ton of wind at his back and was really tough gauging his mark. His first jump, he might have been over the board by like the edge of a toenail, and it would have been a huge jump, PR jump. Instead, his best jump was 5.97, which isn't terrible. Gave him 580 points. And at this point, with two events where you haven't done your best, you could, as an athlete, just kind of be like, ugh, this is shot. But, you know, I talked to him, Laura talked to him, like, dude, you got 8 events left total. We can pull this together. And he went on a tear. Starting with the shot put, best throw of 8.4 meters, PR, 390 points. High jump, which Laura and I, like, kind of played some roulette with some of the heights. But he cleared 1.71 meters, which is a PR for him, 552 points. He got that on his third and final jump, and we had passed the two previous jumps. So it worked out. It was the right move. I think it kept him from jumping too much. And then the 400. Now, if I record this, it goes down in history, and it's official. There's nothing that can be done about it now, and there's video evidence that we all laugh about. But Dayton executed probably the biggest false start I've ever seen that someone got away with. It was pouring rain at this point, and Dayton might have gotten 2.5 steps on the field. His foot was starting to slip in the blocks. He decided he was going to go. In the multi, you get a warning. You get one false start, and you don't get thrown out. So he had decided, as his foot slipped, you know what, just going to come out the blocks. So he did, and then bang, the gun went off. Dayton kind of slowed down and almost stands up. You can see it in the video because he thought that, okay, well, that's it. Then he realized they weren't stopping it, and so he just started going. So we give him the edge on, like, okay, we'll call this at least for ourselves. It's pretty fair. You came out early, but you basically stopped. Dude went and ran a 50.86, which is a massive PR for him, one of the fastest 400s of all time, and he scored 775 points and won the event. So if you'll remember, those first two events didn't go so hot, and then he goes on a tear and sets three PRs. Like, he's got the mental game down. Open up the next morning with a 110 hurdles, with a time of 18.73, gives him 456 points in that. Also, I do believe that's a PR. I can't remember if he did them at Rhodes, but either way, great time for him. Disc, best throw of 22.71 meters for 323 points. Now the pole vault. Guys, if you haven't helped train a multi-athlete in the pole vault with nowhere to practice, like, let me repeat that. If you are not currently part of our program, or you just like listening as you support your Trevecca athlete, or if you are a donor with a lot of funds and want to make this possible for us, training someone with no pole vault apparatus is tough. Your practice is competition. Your practice is warm up at competition. So if you would have told me that we would have somebody vaulting 10 plus feet, on just basically remembering what we remember from each competition, I'd have laughed at you. But that's what Dayton did. Cleared 3.1 meters, good enough for 381 points, but it was 10 plus feet, and he almost got 10.5, 10.6, whatever 3.2 is. PR, school record. Like, we were running out of pole. Like, we have to order more poles that are longer and adjusted differently. Like, it was amazing to watch him do that. And a lot of his fellow athletes were excited for him because they know that he was just doing his best to get over. So he's like right on that edge of inverting, like you want your vaulters to do. Now the jab was going to be a crapshoot. We didn't know what that was going to be like. He never thrown the jab. He played baseball, which can be good in the fact that he has the arm strength, but the crossover, the stepping, a lot of things are different about the jab. And we were noticing early on, we were having real trouble. The wind was pushing the tail of the jab to stay out longer, so he wasn't getting the front end of the jab down and into the ground. And I knew right out the gate, him getting called on flats was going to be very difficult. First throw was not a legal throw, but his second throw, I was standing in front of it, and I know it landed front side, and sure enough, got called a flat. I did not handle that well, but he did get his third throw in the ground, 21.37 meters. I'm telling you, that second throw was 30, 32 meters, but he got a mark, 180 points, and he had some work to do. The school record looked doable. I believe it was 5,069 points, and we knew he'd have to run a 4:42 1500. Now, if you remember from earlier, the 1500s we read through, the first fastest time was Joey at like 4:21, and then the next fastest was Joel at 4:39. Dayton went out there, shot out the front, and ran a 4:38.93. He was our number two 1500 runner on the day. At the end of the DCAT, scored 687 points. To have a total of 5,087 points, school record, first DCAT, and he had three events that we would love to have back, probably four if you want to talk about the disc. He's got several hundred more points in there, and that's phenomenal. Great work by Dayton. Great work by the whole team this weekend. Really excited with how they did. Really excited with how the team came together to support each other, especially the disc at the end of the night, and just being each other through what was a long weekend for us coaches. I think with Laura and I being there as early as we were on Friday with the rental till we got back to campus, it was basically a couple of 14-hour days back-to-back, 30-something hours of work basically in 48. So kudos to the staff, to Brooke, to Dylan. Long weekend, a lot of moving parts, people leaving at multiple different times. Just everything ran great. Looking forward to UAB this weekend, which kicks off in only 2 days. We'll also have Lucas Baggett at NC State at the Raleigh Relays. This is 2 years in a row. We've sent athletes to probably one of the hardest meets to get into. Excited to see what he's going to do in the 400 hurdles, hoping he punches that ticket and jumps on the Provo list and establishes himself as someone to be competed with this year. Thank you again for listening. If you gave on Giving Day, thank you so much for that as well. Hoping to see what those reports are here soon. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for tracking the Trojans. We will get the UAB report to you. I will get the UAB report to you as soon as I can following the meet. Everybody have a great Easter if I don't get the podcast thrown up before then. Take care and thanks for tracking the Trojans.